Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill. I am Johnny Burrow and we're bringing you all the latest gossip and speculation, but that's not all this show is about. We've got stories to talk about from across Europe. Manchester United, let's start there. Frivolous stories we're going to be coming on to with Dominic Booth, who is Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News. Pogba could be off to Real Madrid. That's if you believe the Daily Star. The Sun are having none of it. They say Paulo Dybala is off to United and Pogba is going back the other way to Turin. Will he just yo-yo between the two clubs for the rest of his career? Very confusing. We're going to have all the latest for you on this potential Newcastle takeover. It's being rumoured it could come from the half-brother of Manchester City owner Sheikh Mansour. Sheikh Khaled bin Zayed Al Nahyan is interested, but he failed in a bid for Liverpool earlier this year. So has he really got the credentials? All the latest there. And of course, some big news coming out of PSG. The manager, Thomas Tuchel, has said that he can't guarantee that his star men will be at the club next year. Neymar and Mbappe could be off, but don't worry, they're replacing them with real star talent. James Milner is off to the French capital to add some much-needed flair. That's if you believe The Guardian. And, of course, a roundup from the Premier League rumour mill as well with Ron Walker of Sky Sports. But the thing is, we're not just here to do the rumour. We're not here to do the speculation. You get that everywhere. You get that from your papers. We're here to cut through the noise of those rumours and assess which have actually got legs, which moves could happen. So with that in mind, we're starting the show with a cautionary tale. That cautionary tale is Manchester United's transfer rumours for this week, because what we're going to do is we're going to have a quick rundown of all of the defenders who've been linked with United over this bank holiday weekend, right? It's a short list. So we start in Turin with João Cancelo, 53 million quid from Juventus. He's a right back. They need a right back. Antonio Valencia coming to the end of his career. Young Diogo Dalot, not quite ready. Possibly. That's the Daily Mail. Then we get Harry Maguire. He's going to cost upwards of that £75 million world record for a defender. That's if you believe the Evening Standard. They're also in for Kalidou Koulibaly, £95 million from Napoli. That's the Metro. Oh, they're getting another right back as well. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, £50 million quid, possibly 70. That's if you believe the Daily Mail. That's not enough defenders, though. Matthijs de Ligt will be coming in from Ajax for £70 million. Jerome Boateng will be coming in from Bayern for around £30 million. That's if you're trusting the Metro and the Express. And Sergio Ramos will be signing as well, because it's apparently 2015. They've been linked with over 10 defensive players in a three-day spell. But don't worry, if you're a current United defender of the sort of Phil Jones, Marcus Rojo, who have been laughed at this season, you're safe. Marcus Rojo has apparently been reassured about his Manchester United future. Are you having a laugh? Somebody is lying. Because if United are signing the likes of Koulibaly, Maguire, even two of those, there is nothing remotely safe about Marcus Rojo's future at Old Trafford. This is the thing. Some of these rumours will be true, and we can get our heads around which those will be, right? Harry Maguire, there's legs to that. He's been linked to them for a while. He's an English talent. He's homegrown. He's going to be one of England's starting centre-halves for the next few years, certainly in the Nations League this summer. And he would come with a scrap from Man City. It's a statement for United. They will want to make a statement of that kind. Pep, you want him? No, he'd rather sign for us. We are still the biggest team in town. Maguire, I could see happening. Similarly, Wan-Bissaka, you need a right back. Again, homegrown, talented, Premier League proven. Let's be sensible in our rumours. 70 million quid is a lot of money, but the Daily Mail aren't completely out on a limb there. But some of these are nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And that's why you shouldn't just take everything as read. Kalidou Koulibaly, 95 million quid. Not a prayer. We're hearing that Real Madrid are in for him. They apparently bid 79 million today. That wasn't enough. Carlo Ancelotti, his manager at Napoli, is saying he's not going anywhere. Why would he go to United? Why would United pay 100 million quid for a centre-back who got taken apart by Arsenal twice this season? Similarly, Matthijs de Ligt, 70 million pounds. Great defender. He's going to go to Barcelona. Everybody knows this. 70-odd million quid, 75. He'll join Ajax teammate Frenkie de Jong. It'll be very, very happy. Everyone will be there in a wonderful Dutch total football paradise, continuing that legacy left by Johan Cruyff. This is the point. United aren't going to sign all of these guys. They couldn't. They haven't got the money. They haven't got room in the squad. What this show is about is filtering it out. I'll be asking Dominic Booth of the Manchester Evening News in just a moment which of these rumours could conceivably be true. And we're going to let you know what could happen, because there's no point getting excited about players who will never sign. We're here to bring you the truth. That said, we're also here to wind you up. And as ever on the Transfer Rumour Mill, tonight we are playing a game of two truths and a lie. The premise is simple. There is currently a poll on our Twitter profile, at Love Sport Radio. Get over there, get voting, get following as well for all of your great sporting content, not just in terms of football, not just in terms of transfer rumours, cricket, of course, from the Cricket World Cup and all of our superb shows. Your three options are as follows. These are all transfer rumours. Two of them are real in the sense that they've been reported somewhere in today's press. One of them I have naughtily just made up. My producer and I have got together and are trying to con you. This is to make a point. What's believable? What isn't believable? Because most of these are made up by somebody. Here are your options. Juan Mata to go to Newcastle, Anthony Martial to sign for Inter Milan, or James Milner to PSG. Get voting. You're currently opting for a perhaps slightly surprising choice. Get those votes in. We will reveal the truth before the end of the show. But having teased you with all of those potentially farcical Manchester United rumours, it is about time we get to the meat and drink of which ones could actually happen. So coming up, I will be joined on the line by Dominic Booth of the Manchester Evening News to get our teeth into it.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and it's time to turn our attentions to one of England's very biggest clubs. Manchester United are always a behemoth in the transfer market, not just because of that status, that fame that they have in the game, but because of the wealth. They're commercially unbelievably successful. So often when they want to sign a player, they've got the clout to do it. We've already established that they've been linked with pretty much every top level defender currently playing their football in Europe. But there are links to current United players heading for the exit as well. So we're hearing in today's Daily Star that Paul Pogba could be off to Real Madrid. Now, this is a rumour that's been circulating for quite some time. He's a player who, of course, idolises Zinedine Zidane. He watched a Frenchman running the midfield for Real Madrid as a kid. And you just wonder whether the appointment of Zidane to that job might make it even more appealing. Real Madrid, we're always told, is the ultimate dream for a player to move to. Pogba likes the glitz, he likes the glamour, and he fits the bill of a Galactico perfectly. Bizarrely, when Real Madrid are doing their transfer operations, they actually care about how good looking a player is. This is a genuine thing. We've heard rumours in the past where various players have been ushered out of the door because basically they're not pretty. They don't sell whatever it is. They don't sell boxer shorts. They don't sell aftershave in the way that the likes of David Beckham can. Pogba is that. He's an Instagram celebrity. He's an iconic guy, and they will want him for that reason. He might want to go. But you wonder whether he's got a point to prove at Old Trafford, whether Paul Pogba has something he has to say. Because he was brought back with this fanfare as the returning king, the prodigal son, coming back and sorting things out. He hasn't done it. He's had his spells that have gone quite well. And you just think, does he want to finish the job? But I don't buy this one. I don't buy him going this summer, because Real Madrid are a club who like to go big in the transfer market. That's true. But if you look at the signings that we can be really confident they're already going to make, for example, Eden Hazard is signing for them from Chelsea. I'm convinced of that. I suspect the conversations have already happened. I suspect Chelsea have already promised Hazard he can go. Now, there are other players being linked as well, because Hazard's not going to be cheap. Even with 1 year left on his contract, you're looking at maybe £100 million of fee plus all those wages. They're then being linked with Christian Eriksen. If these rumours today about a defender as well are true, £79 million on Kalidou Koulibaly. Even a super club like Real Madrid can't just go around splashing the cash in a farcical way. But I've got an expert on the line. I've got a man who knows far more about any of this than I do. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce Dominic Booth, who is a Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News. Good evening, Dominic. Thanks for joining me. We're just quickly touching on a rumour in today's Daily Star, which links Paul Pogba with a move to Real Madrid. Is that something you could see happening this summer?
Well, it all started, didn't it, a couple of months back, where Pogba sort of fluttered his eyelashes at Real Madrid, saying they'd be a dream club for anyone to play for. And we know that he has sort of angled for moves in the past. He's also been linked with Juventus, a return move there. I think a few people, the old lady, have said they wouldn't mind having him back. So with everything that's happened to Pogba in the last season at United, and his season ending with that altercation with some United supporters in the Stretford end, I really wouldn't rule anything out, to be honest with you. Although I have to say, United are adamant that he's going nowhere.
They're adamant that he's going nowhere. The British press are, of course, adamant he's going absolutely everywhere, because the Sun are weighing in. You mentioned Juventus there. They're saying that we're going to see Paulo Dybala, the, of course, enigmatic Argentine forward, signed for United, Pogba going the other way. Can that happen, Dominic? Because I'm not saying it can't, but just the perversity of a player going from Manchester United to Juventus to Manchester United back to Juventus. Get a new club, Paul.
Yeah, it's like he's only allowed two clubs to move.
Does he not want to learn Spanish?
Well, clearly not. I can't see these massive exchange deals are mooted in the press. Very, very few of them actually come off. I mean, I can't see that happening at all. Dybala doesn't quite fit in terms of what United are looking for this summer. He's going to come on such high wages, and he's actually been struggling a little bit in the past season at Juventus. United would probably value Pogba higher than Dybala. So, yeah, I think from United's point of view, they will want Pogba to stay, and they'll want players to slot into the squad around Pogba, and rather than the massive upheaval of another swap deal.
I think so. We're rubbishing that one, Dom. It's too good to be true, or too bizarre to be true.
I'll say that, but then I'll probably come back to haunt me.
It's always the way, isn't it? It's the move that sounds most bizarre is the one that happens. But while we're talking about potential exits from Old Trafford entering Serie A, we're hearing that Alexis Sanchez could be offered a way out from his United nightmare. He could sign for Inter or Juve if he accepts a drop in his wages, or perhaps if United subsidise them. That's in today's Independent. Is he off this summer?
I think he might be, yeah. And United would definitely like him to be. It's just been an absolute nightmare for Sanchez at Old Trafford. 18 months, which he'll want to forget, which the club will wish never happened, to be honest. The amount of money they spent on his wages. At the time, it was actually viewed as a bit of a coup. Getting Sanchez it was said for free, but obviously that was just meant no transfer fee. But the wages have been hugely costly. There's been almost no payback on those. And although Henrik Mkhitaryan, who went the other way in one of those swap deals, actually came about,
he's hopeless.
He's not done much better either. So yeah, it's been a deal to forget for everyone. And if United could get Sanchez out, even if they have to subsidise some of his wages, I think they'd be delighted.
It shows how fickle football is, doesn't it, Dominic, and how quickly things can move. Because this time last year, Sanchez was one of the hottest properties in Europe, effectively, still. And just a couple of years ago, he was this star. Do you think he's tarnished that name now? I mean, if you are an Inter or you are a Juve, are you not a little bit apprehensive?
Yeah, it strikes me that these moves are linked, and sometimes a player's form over the last year or two isn't taken into account. Like you say, it's just the name that is. whether Inter, I know they've got a lot of money to spend and try to sort of get themselves back on the top of Italian football with all the turmoil at Juventus as well, whether they just want to throw money at the problem, you know, that's a possibility. The other possibility is that Sanchez goes to China or somewhere like that. Obviously, they'd be willing to pay the money for a marketable name.
What a romantic
otherwise,
end to a career.
Yeah, I just don't see that many options for him, really. There's not that many people who'd be willing to take that gamble on a player who seems to be really just fading fast in his career.
Perhaps a case of be careful what you wish for. But could you see him going to Serie A?
Possibly, yeah. I think that's definitely an option. I don't think anyone else in the Premier League would take him. I don't think La Liga, you know, he's been there when he was in good form with Barcelona a few years ago. So, yeah, among the limited options, you definitely Serie A are one of them.
And, of course, he broke through first at Udinese, so it is a division he knows. He just hasn't been there for quite a long while. But, Dom, I really need your help now because we began the show with a cautionary tale. And because on this show, we're not just doing the rumours. We're trying to work out, as you've been incredibly helpful in illuminating, which of these rumours might actually be true. And so I offered a bit of a warning about the fact that so many of these rumours are rubbish by mentioning every defender who United have been linked with in the last couple of days. It's almost 10 names, and I just need your help in identifying which could happen. So the world's press have clearly decided that United need a right back, okay, Valencia's ageing, that makes sense, and a centre-half, okay, Phil Jones is rubbish, that makes sense. But which of these could happen? The Daily Mail say that João Cancelo from Juventus could sign for 53 million quid, just a year, by the way, after the Turin side signed him. Could that happen?
No, I don't think so. I think Juventus have said that they want to keep him, and I think he said he wants to stay. So I'd say that one's not going to happen.
One bit of nonsense ticked off there. Thank you very much. One that I thought seemed a little more plausible was Harry Maguire. Could cost upwards of 75 mil, but the Evening Standard is saying it's going to be a Mancunian battle for his signature. What do you reckon?
Possible three of those two, definitely. Both Manchester clubs will be after a centre-half. United did go for Maguire last summer, nearly pulled it off. City now want to replace Vincent Kompany. So, either of those two could happen.
Kalidou Koulibaly, 90 million quid plus from Napoli. That's in the Metro. I think it's rubbish. What do you reckon?
I don't think it'll happen. I think United might want it to, but I can't see Napoli wanting to sell, even for such an extortionate price. So I'd probably say that one won't happen.
No, I think you're spot on. This one has really thrown me. I can't call this one. They're being linked with Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He's going to cost at least 50 million quid. Palace apparently wants 70 million, but if that's in their world in which Wilfried Zaha is worth 100, that sounds like a bargain to me. What do you reckon? Has this one from the Daily Mail got any credibility?
It might have legs. I think United are definitely targeted Wan-Bissaka, someone they've definitely looked at. Whether it can be done, I don't know about the 70 million demand from Palace. I think it may have to be around the 50 million mark. I think it could happen.
Is there not a case for giving young Dalot a chance from a United perspective?
Well, that's interesting. I actually wrote about this for the Manchester Evening News about how signing Wan-Bissaka might not actually be the best thing to do, and United might be better served going for a slightly older head at right back to maybe help Dalot come through, and then in a couple of years, Dalot can have that spot. You know, Dalot's only 20 himself, Wan-Bissaka's 21. So having two young right-backs, one of them's going to miss out long-term. So an interesting one. I think the one that I might throw into the ring in terms of right-backs is Thomas Meunier from PSG. I think he could be an option.
Yeah, he'd be an exciting one. So there's a new one there. We're adding another rumour, but a believable
one.
We like that. I'm going to finally throw three names at you. They're star centre-half names at opposite ends of their career. Are any of these going to happen? Matthijs de Ligt, 70 million quid from Ajax. Jerome Boateng, around 30 mil from Bayern. Or Sergio Ramos, because we're currently living in 2015.
The most likely of those three is De Ligt, but I still don't think that will happen.
No, I agree with you. It sounds like he's off to Barca. And finally, Dominic, I'm going to leave you with some good news, which is that in today's Daily Express, Marcus Rojo is saying he's been reassured of his United future, despite the fact that his manager is being linked with moves for every defender who's ever played Champions League football.
Yeah, I think if United could recoup some of the £16 million they paid for Rojo 5 years ago, then they definitely will do that. I'm not quite sure that I think Rojo might be speaking more in hope rather than expectation. I think maybe United would quite like to replace him with a higher quality centre back.
Pray for Rojo. Dominic, thanks ever so much for your time. That's been wonderful, really illuminating about which of these deals could happen. Dominic Booth there, who's a Manchester United writer for the Manchester Evening News, and a fantastic one at that. We've set the world to right on United, but coming up, they're not the biggest news story today of English football. They'll be outraged. Ed Woodward will be absolutely livid because Newcastle have stolen the front pages. Adam Crafton in the Daily Mail broke that Newcastle could be set for a multi-million pound takeover, but could it actually happen? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And the big news today is that we're hearing that Newcastle are reportedly on the brink of a £350 million takeover bid from Sheikh Khaled bin Zayed Al Nahyan, who is the half-brother of Manchester City owner Sheikh Mansour. He's a man with deep pockets. He wants a Premier League club. And one man on the line to help me get my head around this is Harry DeCosimo, the freelance football journalist who knows a thing or two about the inner workings of Newcastle Football Club. Good evening, Harry. Thanks for joining me. Is this deal genuine?
Yes. There was a statement released earlier today that suggests that it's on, and there's certainly been discussions between the club and this gentleman and this and his business associates and everything like that. But I think there does need to be a degree of caution with it in terms of, you know, how much money he's got, whether he's shown the funds to Newcastle United. I think that's been debated. There have been a few reports come out tonight to suggest that that hasn't been the case so far. Yesterday it was reported that he was on the brink of a Liverpool takeover last year, and that fell through because he couldn't produce the funds. So I think, not to suggest that it isn't going to happen, but I also think that there's got to be a degree of caution coming into that. And with Newcastle supporters and Mike Ashley over the last 12 years, caution is all you're going to get, really.
Yeah, of course, Newcastle fans not getting ahead of themselves, though. I saw one guy on Twitter saying he's already ordered a Newcastle shirt with Mbappe on the back of it. And another said, if we do get this takeover, we should sell Sean Longstaff to United for 25 mil, then buy him back for 100 million just to make a point. So, you know, we're staying measured. I think your point about just taking this easy at first is really, really important. So the statement that this potential owner has issued says, listen, I've agreed terms, and in his words, he's now aiming to complete the transaction at the earliest opportunity. Well, why the rush? Give it a day or two. Why the rush? You bring up that potential takeover for Liverpool. This is very, very interesting. As I understand it, it's all hearsay, but it's being widely reported in major British papers that he reportedly failed with a £2 billion bid to take over Liverpool last year. That offer was deemed, and I quote, neither credible nor worthy to even be put to Liverpool's ownership. It reportedly involved 750 million quid from Chinese investors and 1.2 billion from him. So even if this bid is accepted, and listen, this guy is a member of the Abu Dhabi royal family. If that Liverpool bid was genuine, he has at least 1.2 billion available to throw at a football club. He's got money, but even if it's accepted, he's going to have to pass the Premier League's owners and directors test to make sure that he is fit and proper to own a football club. I'm in no way implying that he isn't, but there are a few hurdles for him to get over, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think that's crucial to remember. And also, you know, as you pointed out, there's a difference between £350 million and £2 billion. So, you know, Newcastle fans, despite, as you mentioned before, maybe getting some, in some quarters, getting a bit carried away, I think majority of them, and even in those people within themselves, they're just sort of tongue-in-cheek at this point. I think they would have, going into, you know, waking up the day before yesterday, they would have thought to themselves, just get Benitez's contract sorted. And that's another crucial point. Before getting ahead of...
Yeah, now they're going, how much is Neymar going to cost?
Yeah. There's no point in thinking about Neymar if Rafa Benitez isn't at the club at the moment. He's still looking for clarification on that, I'm told, as well. So I think it's crucial that Newcastle fans remain calm, remain as they were going to be as I say, waking up on Sunday morning rather than going to bed on Sunday night expecting the world on a stick. I don't believe that there's going to be a mass spending, even if he does take over anyway. I think that Newcastle would do things very similarly to as they would ideally like to under Mike Ashley in the summer anyway, which is spend a bit of money to try and compete in the top half first. I don't think you would expect us to be in the Champions League or competing for the Premier League title in 2 years' time, even if it does go through. But as I say,
wise
it's
words,
just all about
Harry.
Keeping calm.
Yeah, wise words to keep calm. Let's, for a moment, imagine that the deal is genuine and he gets through all of these regulatory stages. The money is there and Newcastle suddenly have billions to play with, which sounds like a very odd sentence to say. My producer is a Newcastle fan. He's just raised a suggestive eyebrow at me. In terms of if the money does come through, who could you go for? The Newcastle Chronicle today are reporting a potential £25 million move for Derby County's Harry Wilson, who is, of course, on loan from Liverpool. I think that would be a fantastic piece of business and exactly the kind of sensible Premier League signing you're talking about. Other ones we're hearing, a potential £40 million quid on Hoffenheim striker Joel Linton. I can believe that. We've seen the link with Joel Linton and Newcastle for quite some time. But the Express are going for Jetro Willems from Frankfurt, Mario Fernandez from CSKA, and, of course, tying up Salomon Rondon on that release clause, I should say, from West Brom for £16.5 million, plus Juan Mata on a free. Where are they going to go? Which of those sound sensible?
All of those sound pretty much... Because all of those names were linked before the... The takeover was even mooted.
Is Wilson an old link, Harry? Because this is the first I've heard of it.
Wilson was linked. He's a man that Rafa likes the look of, I think. And Joel Linton, Rafa's got his own question marks over whether Joel Linton would fit, depending on things. I think a lot of things would come back to Rondon. Again, speaking strictly if Mike Ashley is going to be in charge of the club next season or whether somebody of a similar... You know, forgetting for a second that it could be a billionaire or whatever, Rondon was always going to be the main target. I think that would be the first port of call that Newcastle would just sit and just spend a bit more, have a bit more say in the same pool rather than aiming to sort of bring the superstars.
So you're backing Rondon and Wilson as sensible, realistic signings for Newcastle.
Yeah, I think that's a good look for Newcastle. The Juan Mata one is hard to believe if Mike Ashley stays, because that would entail paying over £100,000 a week for a 31-year-old.
He's on a free, but the wages will be massive. I agree.
But that might open up if this takeover goes through, because then you would imagine that resale value and that sort of thing doesn't, you know, cutting the cloth accordingly doesn't take a huge. Isn't as important anymore, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. In either whether Ashley stays or whether Ashley goes, the most important thing is that Rafa Benitez stays, because that isn't done yet. So, as far as I'm concerned, the dreaming and all that can be put on hold until that's sorted.
Well, very, very sensible indeed. Wise words there. Harry, thank you ever so much for your time. Harry DeCosimo there, who's a freelance football journalist covering Newcastle. The message is clear. Calm down. Let's just calm down. It's sounding like this bid could be genuine. I suspect it probably is, but let's not be silly. If we look at the last example of a member of the Abu Dhabi royal family buying an English club, that was at Man City. They immediately signed Robinho. They then went and got Wayne Bridge, Craig Bellamy, Nigel de Jong, Shea Given, Gareth Barry, and of course the ill-fated move for Rocky Santa Cruz. So let's not spend money just for the sake of it. A quick reminder of your options in tonight's Two Truths and a Lie. Which of these is actually being reported? Which is a fib? Your options are Juan Mata to Newcastle, Anthony Martial to Inter Milan, and of course James Milner to PSG. Get in touch, get voting on the poll on @LoveSportRadio. And coming up, PSG. It's not just stars coming in, they could be leaving as well.
This is Love Sport.
I'm Johnny Burrow. You're listening to Love Sport Radio, and this is the Transfer Rumour Mill. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Jeremy Smith, who is a French football writer for the likes of CNN and French Football Weekly. Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for joining me. The focus of our discussion this evening is, of course, PSG, because the boss, Thomas Tuchel, has come out and said he can't guarantee that star men Neymar and Mbappe will stay this summer. Do you see them going anywhere?
At the moment, I would say no. And I certainly don't see them both going anywhere. But I suppose, as he said, you know, Real Madrid and some other big teams are on huge rebuilding projects. There are issues and certainly potential big issues coming up if they both stay at the same club. So I'm not sure it wouldn't be a bad idea to get rid of at least one of them. So I can understand him sort of keeping the club's options open, if you like.
If they were to leave the club, which is, as you say, not massively likely, but a possibility, what's the recruitment strategy at PSG going to be? Are they going to look for another massive star? Will they come and raid the Premier League? Or are they going to be looking to build up from the bottom?
Well, this is one of the problems with PSG. And first of all, the first biggest issue is that it's not even entirely clear who's making the calls in terms of transfers at the moment. Because you've got El Khelaifi, who is kind of basically he's got his finger in every pie. He wants a say in everything. He's the one who seems quite starstruck by all the big names, however effective or past it or good for the team morale they are. Then you've got Antero Henrique, who's the sporting director. Then you've got Thomas Tuchel. None of them seem to particularly get on with each other.
Always good.
There's only today there's been rumours that Henrique has suddenly lost a lot of his influence because he wanted to bring Mourinho in, but Tuchel signed a contract extension yesterday. Apparently Enrique's been summoned to Doha, so you know, there's a good chance that tomorrow or a couple of days' time he might be walking. So first of all, we're not even sure who it is who's making the decisions. And then in terms of the kind of players they're bringing in, as I said, the problem in the past has been possibly too much emphasis on these massive, massive names. And it's very much like the old Galactico project with Real Madrid. It's sort of, you know, getting rid of players like Makélélé to bring in star names. The fact is that no major team has ever won a major trophy without a kind of Makélélé there. And that's what PSG have really missed this year. They basically haven't had a midfield.
Right, so they need to strengthen there. And there is, of course, a star name being linked with them, who we'll come on to in just a moment. But I'm interested by your assessment of the hierarchy at PSG, because I think this is something that many of us English football fans, I'm certainly guilty of this, aren't really aware of. There are a lot of fingers in one pie there, a lot of cooks operating around the same broth. And we're hearing rumours that Thomas Tuchel could be being undermined. I certainly read a suggestion in the last couple of weeks that Neymar left the club on leave and Tuchel perhaps didn't want him to, but it was signed off on by somebody else. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a rumour that came out. And this is the kind of thing that I think is happening all the time. And actually, it was interesting that Emery came out with some quotes today saying a similar kind of thing, that he wasn't really given a chance and wasn't able to have it the authority that he wanted and needed as the coach of the team when he was at PSG.
Is a PSG coach ever going to succeed, Jeremy, if they're always undermined by from above?
I personally don't think they are. I know that the season sort of fell off the rails after that Man United match, but I think Tuchel actually had sort of shown signs of being given or getting for himself more authority than his two or three predecessors. In recent times that's kind of still gone wrong, and there was an interesting article in L'Équipe this week talking about the relationship between Tuchel and Mbappe, and basically saying Tuchel realised quite early on that he had no choice but to sort of suck up to the very strong Brazilian clique in the changing room. So he's, in a way, he's being undermined by those above and below him. And
so is Neymar a problem? Is that what you're getting at? We saw petulance with penalties with reference to Edinson Cavani. Is Neymar a troublemaker in that dressing room?
I kind of think he is. I'm not even sure that he's necessarily going out of his way to be, But like I said, El Khelaifi is so sort of starstruck by him, and he does seem to be treated with more indulgence than anyone else. He's allowed to go back to Brazil back and forth all the time. There was the penalty incident as well, which just wasn't a good look for PSG, whether he should have been taking the penalty or not. You know, the public petulance, and then the public, with Alves sort of publicly taking Neymar's side against Cavani. By all accounts, Neymar, when he's there and when he's playing, he's very dedicated to the cause. He's a good teammate. But it feels like it's more the way that other people treat him. And then, you know, even this week, it seems like Mbappe has kind of suggested that he's getting a little bit annoyed by the fact that he's not treated in the same way, and there's kind of double standards.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you?
I think he is, yeah. So I think he is an issue for the club. As I said, not necessarily his fault, but the way he's treated.
That's very, very interesting. A sort of favouritism causing problems with the teacher's pet scenario. And Mbappe isn't going to stand for it. If we look at some of his comments from this week, he's got absolutely no problem with leaving PSG, so they're going to have to do something. Jeremy, I'm really interested by this phrase, summoned to Doha, not just because it sounds like a terrible romantic comedy starring an ageing Julie Andrews. Is it good news or is it bad news? If you're summoned to Doha, are you a favourite or are you in trouble?
I think in this case, in view of sort of the couple of stories that have come out this week, I can't see that it's a good thing.
Right.
There were strong rumours a couple of days ago that Mourinho, who really has been whoring himself to PSG for a few weeks now, that he was close to joining the club. And he certainly is Enrique's choice. And so for Tuchel to be given that contract extension yesterday, I think that's got to weaken Enrique's position. And it just can't go on the way it has done, with the two of them there sniping at each other publicly behind the scenes. So I think it's good for PSG that one of them leaves. And with Tuchel having signed that extension, I guess that the only conclusion must mean that Enrique could be on his way. Mm-hmm. And there, with Leonardo leaving Milan, he was a very popular sporting director at PSG. And I think things have gone badly since he left.
Right, so we could see a return.
Possibly. I mean, maybe I'm putting two and two together and coming up with five.
No, that's an interesting suggestion. Let's talk about that midfield. You were saying that this season the problem has been a lack of spine to that team. It could be about to get weaker, by the way. One of the few remaining vertebrae could be off to Liverpool, if the Mirror is to be believed. Adrian Rabiot has, of course, been touting himself about, or rather his agent, who is his mother, has been at it for months because he's available on a free. Do you see him going?
He's definitely going, absolutely no doubt about that. And actually, he's another sort of example, possibly, of Tuchel's authority being undermined. He basically refused to sign a new contract and has been rotting in the reserves for over 6 months now. And as the Champions League competition got to the knockout phase, Tuchel sort of publicly said, "I don't have a midfield, let me play Rabiot." And he wasn't allowed to.
He wasn't, so hang on, he had his selections dictated to him by the owners?
Certainly in the case of Rabiot, yeah.
Farcical.
So, I mean, most PSG fans are anti-Rabiot, which, I mean, I understand to an extent, but the fact is he's an excellent midfielder on his day. And, okay, he refused to sign a new contract, he demanded a ridiculous salary. But to be fair to him, whenever he's played for PSG, he's almost always done a good job, and they really could have done with him in the Champions League. So I wouldn't say the midfield's getting weaker because he's going, because he hasn't been near the first team for a long time. But yeah, he's absolutely leaving.
And of course, all of these PSG machinations could have further impact on the English market, because we're hearing they've identified a real English star, one of the key men of the Premier League, to come in and shore up that midfield. It's in today's Guardian. Up and coming young talent, going to set the world on fire for the next 10 years. Who is it, Jeremy?
It's a little known lad called James Milner.
James Milner to PSG. You heard it here first. Joking aside, could this happen? He's experienced, he's versatile, he works hard, but he's not a star.
This is the thing. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's the kind of player that PSG need for all those reasons. He's a midfielder. He can muck in other positions. He won't cause a fuss. He's a leader. He's, you know, not a star. He's just one of the lads.
How do you reckon
his French
is? And
that's exactly the kind of... I'm not sure about that. I mean, I remember him starting when he was about... Didn't he make his debut when he was about 16 or something?
Yeah, he did,
so I don't know. He may even have skipped his French GCSEs. I don't know.
Quite possibly.
In a lot of ways, he's the kind of player that they could do with. And the other thing is that he's 33. And another of the mistakes that they keep making in recent years is buying people well on the wrong side of 30 rather than investing in talented youths, including the ones that they've already got in their own system, by the way. But just because of the way that they seem to mainly really like these really big names, for that reason, I'm not 100% sure that there's much behind it. And although Le Parisien, who first reported it, are usually quite reliable, the fact that they made quite a big mistake in saying that his contract was up this season and apparently it's not until next season,
I see,
suggests that maybe they were sort of stretching a little bit.
Right, cause for doubt. Well, Jeremy, thank you ever so much. That's absolutely wonderful. Cleared up all of my lack of expertise around PSG. It sounds like more a circus, less a football club, but there we go. Thanks ever so much. Jeremy Smith there, who's
no
a French
problem.
Football writer for the likes of CNN and French Football Weekly. Just a quick reminder of your options for tonight's Two Truths and a Lie on at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Get voting on that poll. You've got three options of rumours. Two are true. One is total nonsense that I have made up. Your options are as follows. Juan Mata to Newcastle, Anthony Martial to Inter, or James Milner to PSG. Which of those is being reported in the press today? Coming up, a roundup of all of those biggest Premier League rumours. Some of them have got to be true.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to The Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Ron Walker, who's a digital journalist for Sky Sports. Good evening, Ron. Thanks ever so much for joining me. And let's start with a tale of two cities, because Yuri Tielemans is being offered a choice between Leicester City and Manchester City. That's in today's Daily Mail. Do you think this is true? Which should he go for?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you're always going to be tempted by the sort of lure of Manchester City and working under Pep Guardiola and, you know, the trophy room that you'd have to build in your house. But, I mean, you know what he's going to get at Leicester. He's had a good 6 months there after a little bit of an up-and-down start. And Brendan Rodgers has done really well with how he's moulded him in that time. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's better the devil you know. And it's not like Leicester are fighting at the wrong end of the league. You'd hope they'd be pushing for European football next season. So if I were him, I don't know. It's always difficult to say no to Man City. But I think if he goes to Leicester, has a couple of good years, does really well, he's still got age on his side, then he could be moving to Guardiola's team and being a regular. So I think I'd stay with Leicester if I were him at the moment, to be honest.
So you reckon Leicester and wait for that bigger move? That sounds sensible to me.
Yeah.
This rumour sounds really realistic to me, Ron. I think Leicester are definitely interested, and I suspect City genuinely are too. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for greater depth in midfield. Fernandinho's getting no younger, and they might even have a little bit of a worry over De Bruyne after his injury always this season. Not to say that he's going to be replacing him or anything like that, but just in terms of the numbers in midfield.
Yeah, swap one Belgian for another.
yeah, potentially. So, I mean... He wouldn't cost a fortune, and I know City are saying they haven't got money to spend this summer, but I'm not sure. He's always got to take that with a pinch of salt, because the amount of money they've spent over the last few years.
Yeah, we're talking 45 million quid, which in the City scale of things is not massive. And if you think that their owner's half brother has apparently got enough behind the sofa to buy Newcastle, I reckon they can run to one
yeah,
midfielder.
Exactly.
Do you think, though, that this transfer, if Tielemans did go to City, and I'm not convinced he'd get masses of football, Pep rotate, so he would play, but it's hard to see him coming in as an instant starter. Do you think this example of a player going to one club on loan for half a year or a year, doing really well, and then rather than signing for that club, potentially jumping ship to a different outfit in the same league, is something we're going to see a lot of? Because we've seen this with Andre Gomes as well, who's at Everton on loan from Barcelona. Everton want him, and now they're having to fight with Spurs and West Ham to keep him. Should players just stick with the club that they know?
The boring answer, I suppose, is every every situation is different, but it's the trade-off, isn't it? If they probably could have bought him, Everton, that is, with Gomez and maybe Tielemans with Leicester when they first brought him in. But, you know, it's all try before you buy, isn't it? But then you always run that risk of, if they do well, then not just you that's going to be interested. But at the same time, you know, say Gomez and Tielemans have had terrible 6 months, then we'd be saying, you know, if they had bought them, what a terrible investment, potentially.
Yeah.
So I guess it's that sort of trade-off. But they've got to be sensible as well, haven't they? I mean, it depends what sort of agents they have as well, because it depends whether they want to chase the money or, as you say, not necessarily if they do go to bigger teams, going to be getting in the starting lineup every week. And in Tielemans' case, especially, he's only 21 years old. So, you know, playing regular football, top half Premier League team, not to be sniffed at.
No, absolutely not. On that, I want to move to a different rumour, which is a world star who's being linked with a move, not just to one top English side, but potentially three of them, because today's Daily Mirror is reporting that James Rodriguez has offers from Liverpool, Arsenal and United. Do you believe this one?
This one sounds, I mean, the agents, when they're trying to find their client a move, will always, you know, go, oh, you know, Liverpool are interested and all the big clubs, and, you know, just trying to drum up a bit of interest. But when you look at the couple of years that James has had, I mean, Real Madrid didn't want him back, Bayern didn't want to keep him, and those are the sort of similar ballparks to the signing clubs that were being mentioned. So it sounds, maybe if it was a cut price, then that might be a different story, but I think, you know, he's not going to come cheap, so I'd take that with a pinch of salt, personally.
And of those clubs, I agree with you, by the way, that I'm not wholly convinced. And it's interesting that Bayern didn't go for him, as a little side note. They apparently had a £37 million option to make that move permanent. He was by no means shabby at the Allianz. He won the Bundesliga in both of his seasons. Yet they're not interested, which is a possible red flag for those English clubs. Mm. Of Liverpool, Arsenal and United, if we allow ourselves to speculate just a little, which of those three do you think would be the best fit for him?
It's interesting. I think Arsenal know, because they're going to struggle to get Mesut Ozil off the books, and really you don't want two players earning a lot of money playing in that position who you can't necessarily trust in terms of performance on a regular basis. I wonder if Liverpool might be the best move if it were to be one of those three, just because they are lacking a little bit of creativity, you know, in behind the front three, and they were very well documented that they were in for Nabil Fekir last summer. Not entirely similar players, but they sort of play in a similar role. So they're certainly looking for those kind of additions. So yeah, I think he'd get to his best, he'd certainly have a chance at Liverpool.
Interesting stuff. I think that's a really good point of that absence of a conventional 10 for Liverpool. They operate with, of course, Firmino dropping into that role as a kind of false 9, 9.5. But interesting to see how Klopp would use a more conventional attacking midfielder. I want to just touch on, before we finish, Ron, this transfer that I think, well, I put it this way. I saw the headline and I thought, that's nonsense. And then I sat and thought about it for 10 minutes and I convinced myself that it was definitely going to happen. So it'll be interesting to hear what you think. We've got Asensio to Tottenham in the Daily Mail. What do you reckon?
I mean, if you were Mauricio Pochettino, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? I mean, it sort of makes sense. I mean, Real Madrid, it's no secret that they want to get a few players out this summer, and it sounds like a really big rebuilding job for Zidane. And Tottenham are a little bit light, perhaps, in quality in certain areas in midfield at times. It's more in depth than anything. But especially if Eriksen were to leave, considering that his contract's up next summer and they're not really looking like replacing him. And, you know, in behind Kane or whoever it is they play up front, they have a fairly fluid midfield at times. I think, yeah, there's I don't know. I mean, I feel in the same boat as you. The first thing you hear, you think, that sounds a bit odd, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. Is there not just a worry, though, for a Spurs perspective, that Asensio is only going to go to Spurs if Eriksen goes the other way, right? Because that's a gap in Spurs' squad, and it would be a gap in Real Madrid's squad that could only be filled by a player of that mould who has been linked. And if you're a Spurs fan, the appeal of Asensio and all of that glamour looks a little less significant if you're told that you're losing your key man, your metronome.
Mm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. But at the same time, I mean, it's better than... I think their worries at the moment are that they lose Ericsson and then they go, what do we do now? So at least if they had a replacement in the mould of Asensio, not that he has any English experience. And, you know, you look back at Ericsson back when he first started, it took him a little bit of time to adapt to English football. But he'd have a good manager, you know, who will give him time and a solid dressing room and, you know, a club that's going places. So, I think it would at least be, it wouldn't be ideal. I think, you know, the ideal thing is not selling Ericsson. But
yeah, the ideal is having them both.
Balancing that, it's not too bad.
No, and Messi to boot. I think you're spot on, Ron. Thanks ever so much.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
Lovely to speak to you. Ron Walker there, who is a Sky Sports digital journalist. Cheers, Ron. Just before we leave you, the results of the rumour mill, the results of our two truths, one lie. I'm afraid that we've spectacularly mugged you off. Your options were Mata to Newcastle, Martial to Inter, or Milner to PSG. 40% say Mata to Newcastle is the fib, 29% Martial to Inter, and 30% Milner to PSG. Martial was our fib. The other two are absolutely true, so we've conned you spectacularly. That is the rumour mill. Don't believe everything you read, but as we've established tonight, some of these transfers could have legs. Your club could have a new main man very, very soon. Join us next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.